Reading to you from the 8th chapter of Romans in the 16th verse, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist, Cecil Moe, Energy Norma, converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. One year, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Well, folks, you know what? It's been awful cold here in Colorado. My, my. A lot of snow, but not half as bad as what they're experiencing back east. My. Well, listen, friends, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. I just wish you'd kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and pour you a hot cup of coffee or maybe a hot chocolate. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the first chapter of Romans, and let's begin reading with the 16th verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The name of this message is Not Ashamed. Friends, I'm going to lay my cards on the table. I'm going to tell you exactly what's wrong with the churches today. It's our greatest lack of evangelism in our church today. That's a problem. We have no evangelism. What has caused this loss of passion for souls? Why are there so few soul winners in local congregations? Why have programs replaced passion for the lost? Oh, my dear friends, that's the one thing of all the churches I ever was a member of, none of them would compare to the church that I joined there in Seattle. Reverend Tom Baird was the pastor. He was the one that introduced me to Christ. Friends, he was the one that got me started in personal evangelism. Well, a few years ago, I started training men and women in lay evangelism. I took them to churches all over the country, Texas, Montana, you name it, we took them. And we got those young men and women excited about the fact that they were capable. See, we're taught today that if you don't have a seminary education, you're just not capable of going out and doing soul winning. Let me tell you what. I was a director of one of the largest missions in America, and two of our largest missions. And I want you to know, I didn't know anything about mission work, but I had a passion for souls. And I knew that the Lord was in rescue missions, and he still is. However, today I am not a qualified mission director because I don't know much about psychiatry and psychology. You have to have so many different degrees in order to go in Skid Row and tell a man you love him. Isn't that a bunch of hooey? Have Christians become ashamed of the gospel? What is the gospel? Well, the gospel rests in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I told you there's a big church over here, my denomination. They won't mention Jesus. The pastor and the six pastors in the church will not mention Jesus' name from the pulpit. They talk about God and the Lord. Can you imagine a church that won't mention Jesus' name? There's no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. Jesus is the message, and we're not proclaiming it. Well, I don't know if they're ashamed of the Lord. I don't know. But I'll tell you right now, it's abomination unto the Lord. This saving message has never changed. And I read in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, 3rd and 4th verse, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again on the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the message. That is the message. And Paul preached it, no matter where he was, whether before kings or the man on the street or the synagogue. He told them one day on that road, boy, oh boy, I wished we had that same kind of zeal that Paul showed. Listen, consider Paul's unashamed example for all of us. Paul declared he was not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Once Paul had been an enemy of the gospel, but beloved, his conversion on the Damascus Road changed him. It tells us in Acts 9, it says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Arise and go into the city, and it will be told thee what thou must do." Folks, Paul was truly converted, transformed, born again. Saul hit the ground running, and they never stopped his message until they lopped off his head in Rome. And while he was in prison in stocks, he witnessed, he led people to Christ wherever he was. Friends, listen, I surely will not compare myself to Apostle Paul. No, I will not. But you know, that's what I do too. When I go in a restaurant and sit down and have a meal, I witness to those ladies and men. And when I go into the gas station, I witness to those men. And you know how I do it? Now, this sounds really weird, but I will say, did you know in 1955, I was considered a hopeless alcoholic and was drinking wine and Skid Row in Portland, Oregon. The first thing they'll say, "Well, what happened?" Well, my dear friends, the door is thrown wide open. And then it's for me to tell them that how I met Christ. When I have alcoholics come in my home, or I go in the homes of alcoholics, or I talk to alcoholics on the phone, the first thing I tell them was that I was lost, doomed and damned. I knew there was a God, I knew there was a Jesus Christ, but I did not know him. Why? Because I did not believe that this wonderful God could ever forgive people like me. That's the way I felt. And I'll tell you a dangerous thing, when you think you're so good, you earn favor with God. Nobody, beloved, will ever, ever, ever get into heaven without repenting of their sins and inviting Christ in your heart. I'll guarantee you. You say, "Well, Cecil, I don't remember repenting of my sins." You say, "Well, I ask God to forgive me every day." That's not like being born again. When you're born again, first of all, you recognize that you are a sinner, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner, and that Jesus Christ truly did die on the cross for your sins. And then when you recognize that, and you're willing to turn your back on the old way of life that you're living now and come to Christ as a little child and invite him to your heart, you were born again. That's exactly how it becomes. This former persecutor became a preacher of the gospel. Oh, friends, he spent the rest of his life telling others of Christ. He preached with passion, with tears, and purpose. Friends, there was a preacher used to be on television. He recently went on to be with the Lord, Adrian Rogers. one of the greatest preachers our denomination ever had, beside Billy Graham. I've seen that preacher stand in a church of 10, 15,000. I've seen him with tears in his eyes as he walked down those stairs to extend an invitation to lost people. Hey, some of those people were brought up in the church. I remember one time preaching a revival in Hamilton, Washington. And did you know that the pastor's wife was saved during that revival? Many, many people who were brought up in the church were saved during that revival because they had been taught how to be a Christian, but they never became a Christian. Someone said, Cecil, isn't a Christian life a hard life? I hope to kiss a pig, it's a hard life. If you think it isn't, you think it's easy, try it. However, it's so much better than being lost, doomed, and damned, and never knowing if you're going to get killed or die in a car wreck and go to hell. There's so many people in this storm. Donald Humphrey has been killed back there, back east, and in the car wrecks and stuff. You think they thought that the next minute they would be out in eternity? Of course not. Nobody thinks that way, but they were. And he said, I tell you what, you say, well, Cecil, I don't believe that there's a Jesus Christ. I don't believe he died for me. I think it's a figment of your imagination. Well, my friend, when you bow upon your knees before the Lord and confess that he's the Christ, then you will understand. Then when you stand before the great white throne and are cast into outer darkness, you'll understand that what we said is not bugaboo. Well, place him before political leaders and he would give his testimony. You know, the other day I had lunch. I used to have lunch every Friday with a pastor and two laymen. This pastor was saved when he was a 12-year-old boy, but he never gave his testimony. And one day I said to him, I said, preacher, listen. I lived a terrible life as an alcoholic, and I'm sorry for it. But I said, I invited Christ in my heart. Now, as a 12-year-old boy, you give your heart to Christ. You didn't live the awful life that I lived. Be thankful that you've got a testimony. And you do have a testimony because there's a lot of young people who were saved young in life. But you know, it seems strange. When you're saved young in life, I'll admit, you probably won't feel the joy that we who had many sins forgiven. But I'll tell you one thing, there's a lot of people you need to testify to. Sure enough. Well, you place Paul in prison and he would pray. He would sing praises and won the jailer to Christ and then went out that night and led his family to Christ. How did I know that jailer was truly converted? You know what he did? He wouldn't cleaned up all those wounds on the back of Paul and Silas when they beat him with whips. And he took care of them, took them home and fed them, and then said, would you tell my family about Jesus? That's the one thing that Tom Baird taught me when him and I'd go out visiting, and usually it was alcoholics. You know, Brother Tom never took a drop of booze in his life, but I never saw, and he was saved when he was 17, I never saw a man with so much compassion toward alcoholics. He really did, and prisoners. I told you the last few years of his life, he had both of his legs removed because of diabetes. He had cancer. He had asthma. He had everything in the world wrong with him. And he'd read in the morning paper where this young man had beaten up someone or he'd robbed a store or he'd killed someone. Tom would get in his wheelchair and he'd wheel down the sidewalk to the prison. And he'd go in and say, may I see this young man? And Tom Baird would go in there and introduce that man or that woman to Christ. Oh, my stars! What compassion! And when he died, I said, Lord, give me some of his desires and his love for the lost. And I know he did. Paul delighted in the power of the gospel. You know, today, my son, he's got a Dodge pickup. He's in business, and he's got a Dodge pickup with a big Hemi engine in it. My little great-grandson just loves my son, and he says, Real Pa, he called me Real Pa. Real Pa, you know, Doug has a Hemi in his truck. I said, yeah, I know. I said, do you have a Hemi? No. Now, see, everybody's power conscious. Get as much power in that automobile as you can, go as fast. But you know what? There's power in the gospel, truly power. My wife and I went to a service, and there was only one woman showed up. That was never happened before, but it happened that night. And the sheriff said to me, well, Cecil, do you want to hold services, one lady? I said, absolutely. So my wife and I had the privilege. This girl was troubled. Oh, she had many issues in life. That day, we answered the questions that she had. And then she bowed her head and she invited Christ into her heart. She cried like a baby, but when she left there, I never saw such a beautiful smile on a young lady. Her life now has purpose. She has a meaning. God has a purpose for her life. It is the power of God unto salvation. Paul knew what the gospel had done for him. It changed him from a persecutor to a passionate, passionate preacher. It changed him from a man who hated to a man who loved. Listen to me. Paul had witnessed the power of the gospel to change others. You remember when he was on that ship and the Lord told him that night, don't you worry, stick with that ship. Everybody's going to be saved. Well, boy, the ship hit the beach and crumbled like a broken bones. And boy, it was cold. And Paul made a fire. And when he was putting wood in the fire, a viper, a snake, reached up there and bit him. And he just shook it off in the fire. And the people fell down and started worshiping, thought he was a god. Hey, he said, I'm just like you guys. Get up here. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favorite and one of my wife's favorite scriptures, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Folks, listen to me. That's exactly what happened to Cecil Moe, April the 15th, 1955. Sober, saved, called to preach. Oh, how I thank God for His grace, His mercy, and His love. Those friends of mine that I used to drink with, they came over and they told my wife, said, Cecil is doing a con job on you. He's just getting you off on his back, and he'll be back with us. He'll be back drinking with him. And she said, no, he won't. And she wasn't even a Christian. But she saw such a change in my life. And friends, I'm not boasting, I'm not bragging. I'm telling what Jesus did for me. And now I am in exchange telling others what Jesus did for me. He knew people who now hated what they once loved. These same people loved what they had hated. And he knew the power of the gospel could change anyone. You know, I'm taking vibe treatments for my cancer. And this lady, I know she's a head believer. Oh, yeah, she believes in God. She believes in Jesus Christ. It's in the head, though. And you see, she don't... I introduced a friend of her to Christ who is a bona fide alcoholic. He almost lost his business because of booze and everything else. He's been saved now for 3 months, and I'm telling you, she still don't believe it. Oh, she said, I know how he used to be. I said, yes. But when God saved him, he delivered him from alcohol. Don't you understand that? No, she doesn't understand. She doesn't understand the power of the resurrected Christ. Paul was determined to share the gospel with others. And he gloried in the availability of the salvation to who believe. I told you one Sunday I was preaching in my church in Corbett, Oregon. And a stranger, a perfect stranger, stood up and said, hey, preacher, did I understand you to say that only the people of this church or your denomination are going to heaven? I said, no. I said, the Bible said, whosoever will may come. to the Jew, to the Greek, to the black, the white, the fat, the skinny, the tall, the short, the ugly, the pretty. He died for us all. To everyone that what? Believeth. Jews and Gentiles alike can be saved. He was not ashamed to talk of anyone about the gospel. Oh, friends, listen. Sharing the gospel filled his life with adventure and blessings. How many are ready to make Paul's commitment? And I'm asking some of you tonight, listening to this broadcast, that if you would bow your head right now, I'm talking to the Christian now, I'm not talking to the lost. Would you bow your head with me just for a moment? Precious Lord, for these precious people listening to this broadcast tonight, it is the earnest plea of my heart that many will make a commitment and say, Lord God, give me holy boldness. Give me precious souls for my hire. Help me to be a soul winner for Jesus. Bless them and help them. Encourage them and give them souls for Jesus' sake. Amen. You say, well, Cecil, you know, I'm still not saved. I thought I was, but now I hear you talking about being born again, and man, I haven't had that experience. Well, do you want that experience? Here to the Christian, let's launch a new effort of evangelism in our community. Let's prove we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, friend, if you're lost and unsaved and you've got a little old tugging at your heart, I want you to bow your head with me right now. And I don't want you to pray this prayer unless you mean it. This is serious business. You get in trouble if you do. This is not a lark. This is a fact. This is what I did 52 years ago. Here's how the prayer goes. Dear Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess, Lord, that I'm a sinner. And I know I'm not worthy, but because of your death, I'm crying out for you to come into my heart and be my Lord and personal Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, I'd love to hear from you. My phone number is 303-471-8534. I'm standing by my phone. Listen, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. And I don't care where you go to church. I'm not asking you to leave your church. I'm asking you to leave your sins with Jesus so that he can write your name in the Lamb Book of Life. Well, how about it? Would you give me a call? You say you can't afford to call. Will you call me collect? I'll sure intercept it, and I'll pay for the call. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Please pray for my health and pray for Gene and I and my quartet as we go to prisons and telling those dear ones about Jesus. And listen, from my heart to your heart, from my home to your home, I wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Let's get out there and do some soul winning for Jesus. He's coming back real soon. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.